morning, everyone. I'm going to share the word with you this morning. I'm very excited about that. Somehow, it's universal, you know, that we all look for peace. We all look for inner peace. We all desperately want to find this. And maybe you have found yourself in a situation in the past, or maybe continuously, where you seek for this inner peace and you don't know how to find it. You don't know where to find it. You don't know exactly what your strategy should be. And I just know from my own life that it's something I constantly, I'm looking for it all the time, because this is one of the things in life that really makes it worthwhile to live. Peace. That kind of peace that no matter what's happening to you, you have peace. And I don't know how many of you have heard that some people say the moment they give their life to God, all hell breaks loose. How many of you have heard that? Nobody. Okay, quite a few. Because we make the assumption sometimes that when we become a Christian or when we commit our lives to the Lord, that everything is just going to be peaceful, you know, like Psalm 23, you know, that peaceful feeling, and we forget about the valley of the shadow of death. That's also in Psalm 23. But, you know, you can almost compare that to swimming downstream all your life. Nice. With the river, and then all of a sudden, you need to start swimming upstream as a Christian. It's sometimes tough, and it's difficult, and it's not always so peaceful. It could be a fight sometimes, not in the wrong way, but in the right way, and I'll explain it to you. But I've also seen in my own life, every time I have to sort out something in my heart, you know, whether it's something in my past that I need to deal with, or I have to forgive somebody, or I have to talk about something that's in my heart that I don't really want to talk about. It's not nice. It's not peaceful. It almost feels like this wall inside of me. And sometimes I just don't want to do it. I don't want to go through this process of war. But I've learned that if I don't deal with things in my heart properly, I don't come to a place of peace. I don't move from a place of war almost in my heart to a place of peace. So it's something that we can't avoid. I mean, when Andrea and I have an argument once every 3 years, then, you know, it's hard. It's hard. And then we don't come to a place of peace unless we speak about it again, unless, you know, I cry like a bucket full of tears and feels as if, you know, my life is falling apart because we have an argument. But we don't get through it unless we almost war, you know, through this thing and come to a place where we can say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and we put it behind us. You know, though, one of the most amazing things for me about marriage is, you know, there's not many old cows. Can you say that in English? Okuya, okay? Okuya in Afrikaans. There's not many of those things that we can dig up because it's dealt with. It's gone because we've properly dealt with it. Every time when there's an issue, we talk through it, we cry through it, I cry through it, and we deal with it and we put it behind us. But that process, I call a war in my heart. It's something I want to avoid with all of my heart. I don't like it. But I've learned that sweeping things under the carpet, ignoring the issue, pretending that it does not exist, it never brings peace. There's a kind of a peace on the surface, but there's this turmoil inside of your heart that you can't get rid of unless you enter into this war and you find peace on the other side. Okay, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, great. Peacekeeping involves no war. Peacekeeping involves no war. Peacemaking involves a war. There's conflict, there's turmoil, this agony, it's a wrestle sometimes to come to a place of peace. For those of you who've ever read the book of Judges in the Old Testament, do yourself a favor and sometimes read the Old Testament. Quite interesting. You'll be surprised all the things you're gonna see there. But in the book of Judges, this chapter after chapter, there's the story about Israelites being oppressed by another nation. And every time they come to a point where they just can't take it anymore, and then they decide, okay, let's talk to God. Maybe that's a good idea to cry out for help, which they do. And then God sends a man or a woman. Sometimes it's a woman as well. And he raised the person up as their deliverer. And that job of that person was not to pray and fast and preach. That person's job was to go and make war against the nation who would oppress the Israelites. And every time you will read in Judges that there was oppression, there was a deliverer, there was war, and then it says, and the land rested for 40 years. There was peace for 40 years, or the land rested for 80 years. Very interesting. So, in the Old Testament, definitely, there was no peace without a war. No peace without a war. If you go to the New Testament, there's a very interesting scripture in Matthew 10, verse 34, that says, Jesus speaking, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace on earth." Surprise, surprise. "Do not think that I've come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." That doesn't sound very peaceful. And yes, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but he could not bring peace without making war against darkness. He could not bring peace without making war. And I want to ask you this morning, before I go any further, do you know true peace? I want you to evaluate your heart. Do you know this peace that I'm talking about? How desperate are you for this kind of peace that surpasses all understanding? That you can't figure out, but you're just peaceful. Because how desperate we are for that peace, that determines whether we are willing to fight for it. Whether we are willing to do anything to get that. So, do you know this peace? And how desperate are you for this kind of a peace? In John 14, verse 27, again Jesus speaking, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you." So there's a kind of a peace that we can find in the world, but there's a peace that only Jesus can give. Only Jesus. So let's just look at a few things where peace is not found. Where we could maybe find a certain element of peace, but not the true peace that Jesus talks about. Peace is not found in Eastern meditation, okay? Like Kung Fu. I mean, how many years did he sit on that thing? 20, 50. I couldn't hear. 50. And he didn't, without food or water. Praise God, it's not what we have to do to find peace. It's not found in Eastern meditation. Peace is not found in retirement. We read stats the other day. Andre showed me that they say the moment people retire, there's a huge increase in health problems. Because it's got nothing to do with your age necessarily. It's got to do with, I'm retired now and I have nothing really to do anymore except playing golf or watching cricket on the television or whatever you do when you retire. So it's not about becoming old. It's actually losing your purpose, losing something that it cannot bring you peace. Doing nothing. Sometimes we think if we don't work, if we're going to be on holiday for the rest of our lives, we're not going to stress. Let me tell you, holiday can sometimes be really stressful. I don't know, maybe all of you have just awesome holidays, but friends of ours, last year they had a holiday, and they were at a beautiful spot, and they said to us their marriage hit an all-time low during this supposedly amazing holiday. Holiday and retirement is not going to give you peace. Yes, of course, there's a certain element of having a good holiday and being rested that could bring you peace, but that in isolation is not going to bring you peace. Okay? It's not found in a lot of money. Let me tell you, the more money we have, the more we stress about that money. The more we stress about all our investments and, you know, and the rent and the everything, the more money people have, the more they stress. Not necessarily, but it could. It could be. It's not found in a lot of money. It's not found in your dream husband or your dream wife. It's not found in the car that you always desired. It's just not found in these things. There's an element. This is why Jesus says, my peace I give to you, not as the world, because there is something that the world can offer us, an element that, but it is not the true peace that only Jesus can give to you. You know, peace is not found in your surroundings. I have a friend who lives in Joburg, and she was in East London a while back, and she said to me, it's so peaceful in East London compared to Johannesburg. I feel so much peace here. And I said to her, you know what? For a very long time in East London, I was anxious and I couldn't sleep and I didn't have peace. East London can't give you peace. Even though this is the best place to live in the whole world, I will die here. But it can't. East London can't give you peace. Okay? Even the best place, you can live in Mauritius for the rest of your life. It's not going to give you peace. And sometimes we have this thing in us that we say, if I can just have that thing, that's going to give me peace and joy and fulfillment. If I can just live in that house. If I can just have my dream car or my dream wife. And let me tell you, that's not going to give you peace. Not the peace that Jesus talks about. So how do we find true peace? First of all, we need to move from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. True peace is only found in Jesus. Okay, peace is a person. He's called Jesus. Peace is a person. It's not something out there that we need to look for. His name is Jesus. It's found in Jesus. So the only way for us to find true peace is to move from a place where we did not serve God to a place where we're now going to serve Him. But we cannot only make Jesus our Savior, because that's what many people do. They move from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. They make Jesus their Savior. So yes, now they're going to heaven. But they do not make Him their Lord. Jesus is their Savior, but He's not their Lord. So they still sit on the throne of their heart. They plant themselves there on their throne. So you will not find peace if you rule your life. Even if Jesus is your Savior, He must be our Lord. Otherwise, we'll never find true peace. It will only be found in Jesus. And after we've done that, we must learn how to be a soldier in this army. We must learn to be a soldier, because true peace is only found in Jesus, but also when we learn to make war, because then after war comes peace. Okay, so let me explain this to you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3 to 5. I'm reading from the ESV translation. I would encourage you to sometimes just read the scripture in a different translation. Very interesting. It brings the word of God alive. All of a sudden you think, wow, I understand this now for the first time. So go for it. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For even though we walk in the flesh, we do not make war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, this is now you being a soldier in God's army. Okay, so the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. So what is a stronghold? Because it seems as if, you know, this stronghold is now the enemy, okay, according to this scripture. What is a stronghold? A stronghold starts, you must listen now carefully, okay? This is now very important. A stronghold starts with a thought or an imagination or a feeling or an emotion, whatever you want to call it, but often it's a thought. The devil comes, the enemy comes, he plants a thought in your head. I am ugly. I am ugly. Oh, I'm ugly. Okay, you're ugly. This is what the devil tells you. Now you have a choice. You can open the door of your heart and say, yes, I am ugly. Nobody likes me. Okay, then it becomes this thing, you know, that just grows and grows. You can open the door of your heart. You know what happens then? This thought comes in. He jumps on your couch in your lounge. Switch on the television. Checks it out, you know. Open your fridge. Checks it out. Before you know it, he moves into your guest room. Sak en pak. Also good. Into your guest room. The next thing, he kicks you out of your own bed. Out. And then he starts ruling your house. He orders you around. He tells you what to make breakfast for him. He tells you, no, I don't like whole wheat prenutro. I want muesli, thank you, for my breakfast. Then it becomes a stronghold. It's a thought that you think, oh, this is not so serious. I can maybe dwell on it a little bit. Or the voice will say, you have no future. You are a failure. Okay, now you think about it. Now you have a choice. You can say, no. I'm not a failure. I have a future. Out. Close the door. Thank you. You're not visiting me. No, you're not even visiting me for 10 minutes. Out. The moment you open the door, you give that thought a foothold in the house of your heart. And that can become a stronghold. Okay, so you all know what a stronghold is now. It doesn't just happen. We allow that to come in, but the devil plants a thought or a feeling or an imagination or an emotion in our hearts. Behind every stronghold is a lie. Behind every stronghold, there's a lie, which is an unscriptural idea or personally confused belief that is held to be true. So a lie is something that's not in line with the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the truth. That's our mirror. That is our map. Okay? A lie is an unscriptural idea or a personally confused belief that is held to be true. So it's something you believe. It's your personal opinion. But it's not the truth. Maybe it's an opinion of 50,000 people. But it doesn't mean that's the truth, okay? Behind every stronghold, there's a lie. Behind every lie, there's a fear. Something that scares you, something that frightens you, something that makes you stress. Behind every fear, there's an idol. What is an idol? An idol is something that you look to for strength or security or fulfillment other than God. So you find something, you are drawn to something because you can draw strength or fulfillment or security from it. That is an idol. So we're making war against strongholds, but behind every stronghold, there's a lie. Behind every lie, there's a fear. And behind every fear, there's an idol. Very interesting. This is very interesting. So, for example, if your physical appearance is an idol, the way you look is an idol for you. In other words, you get security from it, you get strength, and you get satisfaction or fulfillment from how you look, how you dress, everything about the way, your physical appearance. If that is an idol, we can very easily fear rejection from people. Because if I don't look good, I will not be accepted. And we will believe a lie that you must have a perfect body or you must dress perfectly to be accepted. So it goes hand in hand. And if we do not make war against either the fear or the lie or the idol, it becomes a stronghold. It almost becomes part of who you are. Okay, remember, it rules. You've been kicked out of your bed. That thing rules your life. It tells you how to think, how to act. It rules you. Another example, if a certain lifestyle or a job is an idol to you, you can very easily fear lack, or you fear poverty, you fear that you're not going to have enough, and you will believe a lie that you must provide for yourself. Or you will fear a lie that you will only be accepted if you have a certain position in society or a certain amount of money or drive a certain car. But it's all on top of an idol that you so desperately want a certain position or lifestyle. Okay? Sometimes it's easier to identify the fear. It's not always so easy to identify the idol, but it all goes together. Okay, so if we do not make war against these things, they become a stronghold. Now, an idol or any fear or any lie allow you no peace. No peace. You know, sometimes we think, you know, God just is a jealous God, and I'm not allowed even to love my car. You know, I'm not allowed to have any idol when I'm a Christian. So unfair, you know. It's just not fair. You know what? An idol allows you no peace. It's not so cool to have an idol. It's not so cool to have something that rules you, that demands something from you. This is why God doesn't want us to have idols, because it's unpleasant. It's really unpleasant. You think, you know, to serve Jesus and Jesus alone is now so hardcore and, oh, poor me. You know what? To serve idols and to serve lies and to serve fears when they become strongholds, it's tormenting. It's not nice. They will give you no peace, no joy, no satisfaction. Well, that will give you satisfaction up until a certain point, and then they will start taking from you. All right? They'll start stealing from you. And we have to make war against each of those three things. So I'm gonna take it one by one. Just tell you, how are we going to make war? Because they are not allowed in our kitchen, in our lounge, in our bedroom, not in our guest room. They're not even allowed to knock on our door. And when they do knock, they must be chased away quickly. Okay? And they will learn, let me tell you, a fear or a lie will quickly learn if they can come in. So if they have tried 5 times, knock, 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 and I tell them, go away, because you are not the truth. This is the truth. They're going to stop trying, okay? But we must be adamant. We must be forceful, okay? Nothing like that can enter into our house. How do we make war against idols? Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Seeking first God's kingdom. This is how we make war. I'm not going to say much about this. Andre did an amazing sermon on the 12th of May. Please write it down if you haven't heard it. The 12th of May, he did a whole sermon just on how to deal with idols in our lives. It was brilliant, really. So we need to be able to identify idols in our lives, because this is the bottom part of this whole block of things that becomes a stronghold. We have to seek first the kingdom of God. How do we make war against fear? Isaiah 26:3-4. many, many, many different ways in which we can make war against fear. But I'm just going to focus on one thing. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace. This is the peace we're looking for. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Perfect peace is expressed in Hebrew. I think that's on the screen. Yes. Perfect peace is expressed in Hebrew by shalom, shalom. A Hebrew method of putting great emphasis on a word. You will keep him in everything. The word shalom implies health, happiness, well-being, and peace. So this perfect peace that this scripture is talking about is far more than just peace that we understand or know. It talks about health, happiness, well-being, and peace. I don't know about you, but I want that. I want that with all of my heart. Well-being, health, happiness, peace. But it says that perfect peace only can come when our mind is stayed on God and when we put our trust in the Lord. Now, I just want to tell you one story about something where I had to follow the peace in my heart. And I had to, in a certain situation, not fight the fight of this world. I had to allow God to fight for me. When we moved to East London, and I know I talk a lot about us moving from Cape Town to East London, but we just learned so much. It was such a learning curve for us. But before we came, I organized everything at my previous work for my maternity leave, because I would have gone on maternity leave for 4 months. I would have got my full salary, but on the provision that I would go back for a year. I had to work it back for a year. So that was my plan. So then the plan changed. Now we're moving to East London. So God provided me a transfer from PwC in Stellenbosch to PwC in East London. Long, beautiful story. One day I'll tell you all about that. But because I wasn't going back to my Stellenbosch office, they were not prepared to pay me any maternity leave, which I could understand. But now I'm moving to a new office. They haven't seen me before. I mean, they don't know anything about me. They're not prepared to pay me anything because, I mean, who is she after all? You know, where does she come from? Which I can also understand. I mean, they had no real commitment towards me because it was another office. Now, many people in my office said to me, this is not right. Sonika, you have to now fight for this because it's the same company. They must work something out, you know. They must work something out. They must pay you. They must split it in half or they must do something. But so I just the whole time in my heart felt I shouldn't fight for this. I was so at peace that God is going to sort this out for me or do something. Or I just knew I should not fight for this in the flesh. You know, that scripture says, we're not waging war according to the flesh, even though we walk in the flesh. So where the perfect peace of God also comes in is where he guides us. He guides us not to make war in the flesh, but to put our mind on God and to put our trust in him. So in the end, what happened? No, I didn't get any payment for that 4 months. But what the office in East London gave me was what they said a start-on bonus, which was basically 1 month's salary, which we then split in 4 months. And well, that was an absolute bonus for me. But that was before, you know, I said to God, I'm not fighting for this. And then long after this whole process, they offered me this bonus. Okay? So that is the one part of the story where God really came through for me. The other part is I joined Andre at the church after 5 months. I worked here for 5 months in the real world. And then I joined my husband in the ministry, and I would not have been able to do that, you see, because I went back in a six-hour day position. So that means I must have worked for 16 months. If they paid me my full salary, I was stuck, you know, for 16 months. I wouldn't have been able to resign. And it was so God's timing. It was so just God, you know, working out everything for me so that I can join Andre after 5 months. 5 months compared to 16 months, quite a big jump. And I knew when it all happened, I shouldn't have fought for that maternity leave payment. And I just want to encourage you, you know, we make war. I mean, I was fearful. I thought, how are we going to survive without my salary? And God just said to me, put your trust in me. Do not fight for this. And it was so planned by God, everything. And when it comes to fear, we often want to start fighting in our own strength. We want to fight for our dreams. We want to fight for our future. We want to fight for this promotion because I deserve it. Can't everybody see that I deserve this promotion? Now you want to start fighting and scheming for what you feel belongs to you. And this is where God says, you will not have perfect peace if your mind is not fixed on Him, if we do not put our trust in Him. You will maybe get what you want, what you so desperately want, but you won't have peace. Okay? How do we make war against lies? Last one. Hebrews 4 verse 12 in the Amplified. For the word of God that speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. This is the Bible. Or it's a word that God speaks to you in season. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. That's the deepest part of our nature. Listen to this. Exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and the purposes of the heart. Now, all of these things that I explained, the strongholds, the lies, the idols, the fears, it's things that are happening inside of our hearts. It's not necessarily on the surface. Not many people would know about it. Sometimes you are not even aware of what is the lie, what is the fear, what is the idol. Sometimes we're not aware of it. Now, the Word of God comes, it exposes and it sifts and it analyzes and it judges every thought and every purpose of our heart. That's beautiful. So it helps us to come to a place where we know what on earth is going on inside of me. I don't have peace. I don't have peace, but I don't know why. Have you ever experienced that? I often experience that. I don't have peace. I don't have peace. Then Andre will start asking me, what are you thinking? No, I can't tell you. Sonika, what is going on inside of your head? No, nothing. All fine. Leave me alone. He's like a bulldog, I tell you. He doesn't leave me alone until I come out with whatever is stealing my peace. It is amazing. You know, pray for a friend or a husband or a wife. I don't know if the wives should do that with their husbands, but in any case, pray for somebody who can facilitate this process if you can't do it on your own. Because the Word of God is the truth, and we have to embrace that truth with all of our hearts. But sometimes we can't even identify the lie or the fear or the idol. You know, we don't even know where to start. So, three things practically. How are we going to make war against lies? Against these things that wants to steal our peace. We have to spend time in God's words. Another awesome sermon of my husband on the 2nd of June, Ascending the Hill of the Lord. How many of you heard that? But ascending the hill of the Lord, spending time in the presence of God and actively pursuing it. Not passively, with your duvet over your head, praying, You know, snoozing your alarm clock. No, actively pursuing. We have to spend time in God's Word so that we can know, so that He can speak to us. We have to go back to the words that were spoken over our lives, which we call a prophecy or a word in season, where somebody prayed for you and they said to you, I feel in my heart that God is saying you are going to speak in front of people. No, 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 no. I'm my worst nightmare. I'll never do that. No, but I just feel in my heart that God's going to set you free of that fear and you're going to speak in front of people. And now you have a situation where you have to do it, maybe at work or somewhere, and you are terrified. You are fearful. You know how you break that fear? You go back to that word, that prophetic word, and you say, God, that person spoke that over my life. It doesn't make sense. I'm as scared as anything, but I'm going to receive it now as the truth. I'm going to say, okay, even though I'm scared, this is the truth, and I embrace this with all of my heart. We must actively reject the lie, and we must embrace the truth. We must actively close the door to the lie and embrace the truth. You see, the problem with lies is a lie and a fear are often connected. And sometimes it's difficult to believe the truth because what the devil does, he uses a fact to prove his lie. He uses a fact. For example, you fear that you're not going to get a job or you're not going to get business because people in your field or in your industry are battling to find a job or to find business. So that is the fact. That's the circumstances. Now the devil uses that and he says, you have to fear because there it is, black and white. People don't get work. People are unemployed. How are you going to find work? Come, tell me. In your face. You know? This is what the devil does. Now you have to stand firm. You have to say, yes, devil, I know the facts. But you are now lying to me using facts. You throw it in my face. We God's truth is always higher than a fact. It's always higher, even if it doesn't make sense to us. So if you come in a situation where you're fearful because the devil lies to you, using all the statistics and all the facts and everything, and your best friend can't get a job, why should you get a job? All those things. And you say, okay, devil, I hear you. Can I just also speak? Give me a chance. And you say, the truth is that God is bigger than everything you now bring to me. And then you go to Scripture. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for me, who can be against me? Okay? Psalm 138:3. It says, God will perfect that which concerns me. There's something that's concerning me now. But God will perfect it. I don't know how. He's got a plan that brings peace. It takes away the fear. Philippians 4:6. We all know that one. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And when we then start speaking to God, the peace of God comes. So the word of God is crucial. Crucial. We have to know it. We have to spend time in the Word of God. So, in order for us to receive peace, this peace that Jesus talks about, we have to make war against any idol, against any fear, against any lie. And if you battle to identify the lie or the fear or the idol, get somebody who can speak into your life. Speak to God, ask Him to reveal to you, to give you a spirit of discernment, you know? Ask God to give you a husband who's going to ask you, what's going on in your head? What are you thinking now? Because it's not a nice process, let me tell you, to talk about things that's in your heart. It's like a war, but its peace will not come if we do not make war, if we do not finish this process. and come to the end of it, where the book of Judges says, and the land rested for 40 years. I mean, how cool is that? You know, dealing with an issue and you rest for 40 years. It's gone. It's dealt with. And yes, it sometimes comes back, but then you show them the door, you know? Thank you, but you don't even answer the clocky, you know? You don't even open the door. You don't even look into his face. You just ignore him, okay? And we do it with the truth. We do not wage war. We do not do this in the way we think. We go to the Word of God. We put our trust in him. We surround ourselves with people who can speak into our lives. Okay, just one last story, then I'm going to close. Vian, my boy, is 4.5. He's got 2 soft toys. He actually brought them to church this morning. Can you believe it? 2 lions. He's got many soft toys. He sleeps on his bed. I think there's at least 10, okay? The same moikies. They are his buddies. Now, he's got 2 lions. The one he calls Simba. The one he calls Nala. And they are inseparable. You know, if the lions are gone, we have to turn the house upside down. If he wants to go to bed and he can't find Simba and Nala, he's very upset. We have to seek until we find the lions. Now, are you willing to turn your house upside down to find your peace? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to find peace? Are you willing to make war the right way to find your peace? Because I've been in situations in my life where I didn't have peace. It happens often. I lose my peace. I don't understand why. Now I need to go look for whatever is stealing my peace, because this is not allowable. You know, my peace is my peace. I'm not giving it away. But it gets stolen by, as I said, fierce idols and lies. We have to literally go and look and search and find out what is going on inside of my heart, inside of my head. What on earth is the devil trying to tell me? You have to turn your house upside down. You have to look. You have to find. You have to seek. And you don't stop until you find your peace. You know, Andre and I are at a point where if we lose our peace, we stop the bus. We stop with everything we're busy with, and we say, okay, what is stealing our peace? Because we can't operate. We literally can't, we can't live. We can't, we are unproductive. We are unhappy. It's not good. Okay, our peace is everything for us. And sometimes, you know, we just become really active. We say, okay, let's worship together. Let's worship together. We just stop everything and say, okay, let's worship together. We stop everything and say, let's have communion. Yes, you can have communion at home. It's not exclusive for the saints in the church. You can buy grape tizer or grape juice. And if you can't find grape juice and you have to do communion, use orange juice. It's not the end of the world, okay? Just have communion. The idea is we focus on Jesus. We focus on the cross. So, take a piece of bread, take some grape juice, and say, Jesus, you said we must do this in remembrance of you. I do this now. I fix my eyes on you. I don't know what on earth is going on inside of me. I'm stressed. I'm fearful. I'm panicking. I don't feel well. God, but I make a decision to put my trust in you. As a couple, this is so powerful. We do it often. We do it often, and we just say, Lord, it can take 5 minutes, it can take 10 minutes, but I want to encourage you to do that. This is the way we make war. We don't fight against one another. We make war by fixing our eyes on the Lord. Sometimes we take a little bit of oil, and we walk through the house, and we put some oil on the door, window frames, the door, on the cars. And for those of you not familiar with this, everybody's not familiar with this, we just consecrate our house to the Lord. Our faith is not in the oil, okay? So if you don't have pure olive oil that comes from Israel. Don't stress. Just take whatever you have. We consecrate our home to God. Okay, it's not our faith is not in the juice we drink or the our faith is in the Lord, but it's active. Sometimes we just need to get out of our chair, out of our self-pity, and be active. Okay, we must worship God. We must have communion. We must consecrate our house to the Lord and anoint the house. And if you must do it 5 days in a row, you do it. But don't allow the devil to steal your peace. Don't allow him to come and mess with you. Okay? We live in a war. The Bible says our battle is not against flesh and blood. We live in a war. But it's a war that Jesus has won. He's paid the price for whatever we need. We just need to partner with him. Okay? We just need to partner with him. One last scripture, then I'm done. Romans 16. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And the God of peace, he is the Prince of Peace. Jesus, as I said, peace is a person. His name is Jesus. This is awesome. Peace is a person. His name is Jesus. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. If you experience this morning fear, turmoil in your heart, a panic or an unrest or insecurity or whatever, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. God is for you. He's with you. If you're worried about the future, about finances, stressing about your marriage, your family, your mother, your father, your kids, whatever is stealing your peace, the God of peace is making war on your behalf. He's with you. He's for you. Amen. Let's just stand. Just going to pray for us. We serve an awesome God, really. And God is for you. Many of you believe a lie that God is for everybody, but he's not for you. I know that. Some of you believe a lie that God has favorites and you are not one of them. You're always the one being left out. Everybody's getting married, Lord. Where's my husband? God is for you. He's with you. He's with you. Don't believe a lie that everybody's getting healed, everybody's getting touched, everybody has intimacy with God. Lord, what about me? Have you forgotten me? It's a lie. God is for you. He's with you. He's interested in the detail of your life. He knows your ID number. He knows your second name and your third name. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows your future. Every day in your life is written in a book. Every day. Psalm 139, it says. Hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes. Father, I worship you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll just come and touch all of us in right in our hearts, Lord, the core of our beings. I pray, God, that you will come and shine your light on our hearts, Lord. Reveal to us the truth. Just pray this after me. God, please expose every lie. Please expose every fear. And please expose every idol in my heart. And reveal to me the truth. Show to me the truth. Open my eyes for the truth. And help me to embrace the truth. Help me to believe the truth with all of my heart. In Jesus' name. God, I just release your light over every situation, God, we make war this morning against every fear in the name of Jesus. Just speak to whatever is stealing your peace, whether it's a fear or an idol or a lie or whatever. Just speak in your heart. Just speak to that mountain. Speak to that thing who's stealing your peace. God, we just make war this morning. I want you to speak, okay? I want you to speak out loud and to speak to this. God, we make war against every lie who's stealing our peace. We make war, God, against every fear, God, that is tormenting our hearts. God, I release your truth. I release your peace. God, I release the fullness of who you are over every individual here, God. I release health, happiness, well-being, and peace. I release shalom, shalom, your perfect peace over all of us, God. And we just say that we put our trust in you, Jesus. We put our faith in you. And we trust in you with all of our hearts. Shalom, shalom. God's perfect peace be released right now in Jesus' name. We worship you. We worship you. Thank you, Father. We honor you, God.